Every single podcast is going to be full of like clips of us doting on the cat and telling him how much we love him.
Hey folks, welcome back to Skeleton House. I'm Brett, and this is an audio-only Let's Play podcast where we listen to my two friends, Jess and Steve, play video games, and I edit them, add context, and act as your eyeballs. Last week, we learned the purpose of the red seeds, to gain immortality for the user in some sort of crazy murder ritual. And at the end of last week, we were just about to head into Harry's mansion for the third time to show him the documents from the police station slash waterfall. So let's go find out what Harry knows.
So, you want to find out everything there is to know about Diane?
Wait! She's still alive.
Stop right there, Nick. You're under arrest for the attempted murder of Diane Ames. Emily, hurry!
You saved my life.
No need to thank me for that. I'm pretty useless. I couldn't save Becky. I couldn't save Diane.
Hey.
You know when Diane was, like, doing her dance thing, just trying to, like, explain the art piece with her tongue cut out?
Yeah.
That was kind of spooky.
Yeah, where she's like, Jesus, don't, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. It's just like, hey, man, like, ew, I don't know.
Yeah.
We gear up, grab some med kits and ammo out of the toolbox, and then we head out into the hallway.
I am going to switch over to... I think I like the submachine gun. The best.
I got the red vines growing on the statues.
Aw, spooky.
I mean, it's already doing the spooky music, so.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Hey,
vine-y.
It's them!
We walk up to a painting at the end of the hallway featuring six women in red dresses frolicking in the field.
Ah.
See, I have a feeling this is like the victim chart.
Do you see the resemblance? Anna, Becky. She looks like Diane. And Carol, Zach, look. Emily.
Emily.
That was awkward.
Two of the soldier statues topple over, the ones that were closest to York, and then red vines start growing, blocking the path. The statues tumble really awkwardly. It looks like they're, like, made out of plastic or styrofoam or something. They just kind of, like, fall and then kind of bounce on each other a little bit.
Yeah. Just fucking smirks.
The little statues just tipped over on themselves, and then they grew over. And, York, as usual, is unfazed.
He's, like, less than unfazed, though. He literally smirked at it, like, oh.
Yeah, of course.
But not to me at all.
My reaction when something else breaks on my car. Yeah.
High quality beef. Is this an unlimited spawn? No. What if I just stole an old man's dinner? Like, what if he placed it there, had to go take a shit, and it comes back and it's gone?
That's okay. He's obscenely wealthy. Also, have you seen that man? He's so reliant on technology to survive, I'm pretty sure he just survives on nothing but protein smoothies.
Alright, this conversation gets very blue, so I'm just gonna cut it. When we come back to the action, we're still in the dining room, but now a bunch of the inky black splotches have appeared on the floor, and monsters are crawling out of them.
Whoa, man, a bucket makes it so much worse.
I could use the toilet, but no. Ah, here's baddies.
We dispatch all the monsters with relative ease.
Okay. That was it?
I guess so. What if the game's actually easy and we're just not used to being this sober?
We wander through the hallways and end up back in the courtyard where previously the last two times we were here there were those statue puzzles. This time the statues here are arranged in a circle with all of them facing outwards and there are the inky splotches on the ground. As well as a couple explosive barrels scattered around.
There's that weird moaning.
Yeah, now they're all gonna pop out.
Yeah.
And then I very quickly from the center have to destroy all of those barrels. Understood. Alright.
Oh, very quickly.
That was pretty good.
Buddy, you still got that one that's just roaming around.
Backflip? Oh, there's one behind me. I see. But I'm just gonna...
Where is he? Did we get him?
He's there.
Oh, no, he's just doing that... That phase shifty... appear-disappear thing.
Golf club. I might smack them all for a while then. Because I got lots of smacky things. Yeah, I'm gonna use this bar first.
Watching them play this game relatively sober and not sober. It's like night and day, dude. Anyway, defeating everyone in that room opened up the door, so now we start exploring the mansion even more.
It was those chicks, right? Those like weirdo ones that came with the singing. I hated them.
Came with the singing?
Came out of the
scene. Oh, those ones. Yeah, those were terrible.
Hey, someone broke the windows.
Smashy, smashy.
For some reason, Jess swung the camera to face York at the moment the window smashed, so we don't actually see it. We just see window and then glass on the floor. We end up outside on a balcony, and we get to see the spooky swirling red and black and orange clouds along with the waterfall, the water flowing. And it looks really good. Like, the art design in this game, some of the stuff is super cool. And we also get to witness a window smash, which isn't that impressive. It just, the glass just kind of jumps out.
Why?
I don't know.
For fun? Is that why they broke the window?
Their gameplay skill has increased so much that Jess and Steve both came up with the idea at the same time to throw away the crowbar they were using before it broke so they didn't have to go through the canned animation. It's like they're professional gamers.
Jess had her first day back at work today. At a new job.
It's safer than my old job.
Yes, much.
Much.
But Jess and I both do this thing where if we have to work the next day and it's, like, not the usual thing, like, say we had a few days off or something.
We freak out.
Yeah, we're like, oh, God, I'm going to sleep through the alarm.
And then they'll hate me forever and then I'll get fired and then we'll lose the house and then it's a spiral.
So the solution is to lay in bed all night, trying to sleep, but fretting too much to fall asleep.
Yep.
So.
And we go to work, and then we're tired. And then we have to survive that for like 8 hours. Fuck off!
Well, he's gonna shoot you.
He is.
We end up back in another courtyard, even though I only thought there was one, but I guess there's at least two. This one's the one with the grid on the ground with the numbers on either side, but the statues are just kind of strewn about, and there are more inky splotches, more explosive barrels, and we just gotta blast our way through.
Oh, Chico's doing something stupid.
Yeah?
Yeah, that is true.
Is he in the garbage? How is he still hungry?
He's on the counter.
Oh. But we cleaned. Holy shit. Maybe this is better if I'm sober. What happened? Nope. Goodbye.
What's happening,
John? A little.
We defeat the encounter and the vines retract from our exit.
So Chico was up on the counter. He touched a plate and it fell over and made sound. And then he jumped off the counter knowing I'd be coming up to check.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was just sitting at the base of the stairs licking his lips and pretending he did nothing.
Such a brat. Is the plate okay or do we have to...
That's fine. It just shifted.
Okay. You know what, though? As far as cats goes, like jumping up and stuff.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he only goes up on the counter. It's because he wants food, and like...
He's generally not that bad for it.
Yeah.
Especially considering he was a stray for like 3 years.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason, though. Like, he just has bad knees. He's like, he looks at like a high jump. He's like, no. And like, same.
I can get up, sure, but the down is the issue.
I don't think Chico's jumped on the counter for months now. Also, yeah, we thought he had bad knees, but I think it might have just been because he was, like, not used to jumping around, or, like, maybe he was still kind of malnourished from when he was stray. Because we got him a cat tower recently, and he fucking loves jumping on top of that thing and then jumping onto the sofa from there.
Do you think we're going to find the dude dead? That'd be kind of cool.
That would be neat.
They wander for a bit, and then I show up to say goodnight. I'm going to bed.
Hey, Brett.
What does cigarettes do?
Probably calms your nerves.
Yes, I think that's a razor energy. I can't remember.
Oh shit, was I the one who misled them about the use for the cigarettes? Nah, that was Steve's fault. He put the thought in my head. I was just agreeing. Also, what the fuck did I say? Did you guys catch that? Hold on.
Yes, I think that's a razor energy. I can't remember.
Enhance.
Yes, I think that's a razor energy. I can't remember.
Okay, the first word is yes, and the last words are I can't remember, I think. I think now is a razor?
Yes, I think now's a razor energy. I can't remember.
I think now is a razor and he doesn't remember?
Yes, I think now's a razor energy. I can't remember.
I don't need a hair remember? It would make sense if I was saying, like, it's been a long time since I played, I can't remember, but it doesn't sound like I'm saying that. If you have any idea, this is like that 911 phone call where the guy with the really thick southern accent saw a cop pull over a guy in a field or something, and then people have spent years trying to figure out what he's trying to say. But I said these words. Why don't I know what they are? If you know what I'm saying, let me know.
Yes, I think that's a razor energy. I can't remember.
We talk about making a disgusting turkey and cereal and jam sandwich for some reason, and then I wonder how far they're in the game, so I asked them to show me.
We just went into the old man's mansion, and it's haunted now.
Yeah.
This is the first time that's been haunted. I don't know if that happens more than once.
What's up with them and putting shit in the toilet?
That is just...
Don't take it!
Ah, why not?
No!
It's better than the fucking sandwich you took the other day.
I...
Take the flare.
Good day.
Yeah, but oh.
Bye, Brett.
It's like worse than Silent Hill 2. Because in that one, like, he puts his whole hand in there and he digs out, like, I think it's like a note or like a key attached to a note or something. It's some shit, right? But then, like, I don't know. Everything after that, like, just freaking made fun of that. Because I think, I've played at least 3 other games that reference that.
Oh, yeah?
And just made fun of it. I know that Silent Hill 3, though, is one of them, which I don't know if that really...
Doesn't like, change much for me.
Yeah. Sorry. I just realized you are not interested.
Was it Shut-In that I played recently that I talked about Silent Hill toilets? I think so. Oh man, I almost neglected to mention the most important thing that we do. We changed our suit again, so now we got the Rainy Stripe suit. It's the blue suit with dark blue pinstripes. The slacks and the blazer match. We got dark shoes, a pink kind of shirt, and then a blue tie.
Oh, I need to sleep.
Are you low on sleep?
Yeah, I'm gonna do a deep sleep. Because I feel like it changes absolutely nothing, especially in this area. So hey, we might as well max
it. Means you have
stack.
To eat more food.
Do you know how much food I have?
I'm guessing a fair bit.
Oh, I have a hell crazy food. Sorry. I can make him drink some root beer. Oh, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, that only helps with tiredness.
I'm gonna make him eat some onions.
Just whole ass onions. Yeah, get that onion in there. Uncooked, regular white onions.
Give him a cracker, because I'm cruel. I got 4 cookies?
Onions and crackers, that's actually a thing I ate when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, onions and cracker.
What the fuck?
You just...
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Like,
you ate onions and crackers?
Yeah.
Like, an onion on top of cracker?
No, like a lot of onion, but yeah. To change the taste of the crackers. Listen, we got crackers for cheap.
No, did you?
Why is that more surprising... Alright, you know what? No, you gave me a lot of shit for, the uncooked potatoes, too.
What the fuck?
That one's so fucked up!
I cannot be the only kid that was a thing.
The only one I could think of is Sasha from frickin' Attack on Titan.
That was a cooked potato.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought she just ate raw potatoes.
Oh, she does, but she stole a baked potato, I think, was the thing.
Oh no, I'm talking about when she was eating the raw potato in front of her drill instructor. And he's like...
That was, I think, a baked potato that she stole.
Oh.
They then spend 4 minutes talking about Attack on Titan and bug out bags. And not once do we come back to the potato.
Oh, you might just cut all of this. We're not doing anything with the video game.
That's true.
We're just
That's
talking
true.
About
We're just
random video
rambling.
Games and shit.
Okay. Maybe we should get on the video game.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
sorry.
We're back on the video game.
God bless. They ponder the map for a moment and then decide on where to go. Steve is now in control.
It's cool.
Then I go through this, then I keep it right.
Shit's hard.
What?
Did I go back through the wrong... No, because there was a save room there.
Ah!
Why'd you...
No! I didn't mean to! That's a dumb spot to put that!
What? But you made it to that part of the menu too? What were you trying to do?
Pull up the map, and then I was like, fuck it, this is stupid to do it this way, and I'm just gonna press the minus. So I went to press B, and I guess what I did was I pressed A instead, and that accepted quitting.
Okay, but it didn't go back that far. I did save recently.
That's good.
So I think we get back to where we were pretty quickly, but we end up lost and just wander.
What?
In my head, I thought beef chicken. I'm not even joking, that's why I was laughing.
Just of the concept?
I don't even know, just beef chicken. I thought in my head a little cartoon image of the two of them fused together. Like at the puddle, like that one really weird ass cartoon.
I have a feeling sober God Gamer hours may be over. This following statement is not a joke. They spend the next 3 minutes talking about beef chicken.
That's enough of that conversation. Hey,
oh,
Brad,
wow.
if you're looking for the spot where we get back on track, it's right here. This is where we got back on track, because you probably just started fast-forwarding looking for a spot.
That was a wild fucking ride, though.
Oh, this one's going to be a shenanigan-heavy episode.
What? No.
I thought you were going to squirt me with a squirt gun.
Oh, that is tempting.
No! Hey, this is expensive equipment! Stop it!
That's just your
That is so mean!
That's okay, now we're even, because...
I have my phone there!
The bottle was leaking.
If I didn't grab it in time!
The bottle was leaking, and it's, like, run all down my ass.
No, you're still an asshole.
Oh, I definitely am.
Just because, like... If the cosmos or whatever chose that time to give you justice. No! 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 Stop! Stop it!
What? It's my Switch controller.
It's my phone!
I shot you!
And then we almost get back to the video game.
Okay, Jess. On to the game.
Fucking gross.
It's the squirt bottle we squirt the cat with.
Fucking man.
It's also effective on people.
I'm gonna have an asthma attack.
Oh god, my asthma. Here, buddy.
No! I wanna keep playing!
But you're too high.
I'm fine! Scooch!
Go left.
Okay. I'm like kind of crying.
No.
I feel a little better. Okay.
Steve gains control again for a couple minutes while Jess is calming down. We start cross-referencing the map, and it seems like we're actually getting somewhere in this dungeon.
Man, I'm still fucking mad. Oh, man, this is how Chico feels. Every time we squirt him, I can see why he, like, learned real fast. Oh man, my poor baby.
You're still mad at the squirting?
Yeah, it's fucking. I'm fucking colder and right. On my arm, kind of.
Right,
sucks.
Left, straight,
and
door.
And on the couch.
Shortly thereafter, we get our first cutscene in a while.
Right, take this. Oh, there we go.
York walks past the hallway, and at the end of it, standing with her back facing us, is a woman in a red floor-length gown with her hair done up.
Oh, sweet.
Sweet Emily.
There's a flash, and a man appears at the end of the hallway, and he starts walking towards us. It's the father from the flashback, and he's holding a revolver. He stops when he's standing right beside Emily, who's still facing away.
At times, we must first see.
Oh, is Emily going to be the Antichrist?
Huh.
The man casually points the gun at Emily's head.
Stop!
The screen fills with a blinding white light, and when it comes back, both of them are gone.
Not his waifu.
Zach, did you see that? I must be getting tired.
Yeah. Whenever I get tired, I have full psychotic episodes, too.
Oh my god.
After this short meeting, we finally find the real statue puzzle. We make it to the big room with the windows overlooking the waterfall where we talked to Harry last time. And in it are two Civil War-era soldier statues with red buttons in front of them. So, naturally, we push the first one. Also, I just realized I might have been calling them Confederate soldiers. I don't know their affiliation, but this game takes place in the Pacific Northwest, I think, so they're probably not Confederates.
Gotta press the other button.
Okay. That's it?
Not exactly rocket science on this one.
It's really not.
Unless we're about to get to the real puzzle.
Yeah, the final statue puzzle is press two buttons quickly-ish. A wall starts spinning around and opens up a passage that leads into a dark corridor. The corridor leads downwards into another room. The room is a hallway which is lined with bookshelves, which leads up into a circular room which also has bookshelves along all the walls. And in front of the bookshelves there are a bunch of computers. And there's also three giant computer screens lining the back of the room along the wall. Two of them look like they have eight pieces of news footage and stuff like that going, while the center one is a little bit different. It currently has a world map on it with a couple of dots in different locations. There are a bunch in North America, there's one in Brazil, it looks like, and then a couple in Europe, one in Russia, two in Japan, there's in Australia, and then maybe a Vietnam? And sitting in the center of the circular room is Harry.
Oh, man, this is actually really cool.
Alright. This is pretty sweet.
This is pretty sweet.
This is a nice setup.
Oh, man, you know he's been making, like, doomsday videos and, like, freaking exploding shit.
Looks like we're out of the countryside and back in civilization.
This is civilization to you? Dude's got a fucking couple computers and some books. That's civilization.
A giant translucent plastic screen comes and cuts off the circular room from the corridor leading up to it.
Welcome, York.
Harry now has the files that we fished out of the river in one hand, and he appears to be looking over them.
Wow.
I brought the documents. Just what is going on in here?
I warned you about haste. Take it slow. Sight of what's important if you just rush past it. As an agent of the FBI, I'm sure you know. So many people have got it all wrong. They think speed is the key, that being first is the best. They want speed and are satisfied with what the speed is. There's so much on the way, they don't even see that. I see everything that they don't. From here, I see it all. Then, when the time comes, I make use of what I see. I can get whatever I want in this way. Anything at all.
You're certainly talkative today, Harry. But I didn't come here for a business lecture. Tell me everything you know.
Speed is not important. Timing is what is important. Timing. York, you have a natural gift for waiting for the correct timing. Just be careful that your haste does not ruin everything. That will be vital to solving the current crisis.
What does that mean?
York, I know more than you think, but less than what you hope. One, you have Nick in custody. Two, Thomas is missing. Three, Carol has a locket that belongs to the murderer. I also know that this case revolves around the Red Seeds. But that's about it.
So you've got an inside line on police information.
That reminds me. The victim's tongues were cut out, weren't they? But that's only a minor point. Don't let the shocks blind you to what's more important. That's another business tip.
Harry, I'm impressed. You gather information really well. You hacked into the FBI network, too. Amazing. But I didn't come here to hear this.
Then let us close the business seminar. It's time for a history lesson instead.
Is it actually going to ask me history facts?
We then cut to some sepia-tone footage of it raining in the town. Two men are fiddling with the gas-emitting machine while a third stands guard, and the fourth is a large, rotund man who is laughing maniacally.
Just the same, for the first time, the bell rang throughout the town. I reacted with fear, went to the tower as fast as I could. Covered my nose and mouth and ran home.
A cop swings a golf club at a waitress while a construction worker is choking a woman behind him. After it appears that the woman he's choking loses consciousness, he gets shot in the back of the head by an old lady. We see the red raincoat killer casually striking people down that come at him. Shovels and rakes are no match for his axe, it appears. Once he's done killing everyone around him, he screams to the sky. Harry says branch, but he must be misremembering because young Harry is definitely holding a pipe. Young Harry whacks the raincoat killer in the back of the head while he's looking up at the sky, and the raincoat killer just calmly turns around.
Oh, dang!
The raincoat killer slices Harry in the stomach with his axe, and Harry falls to the ground. The flashback fades out, and we're back in the circular room with York and Harry.
That was fucking metal, hey?
The following morning, I awoke surrounded by dead bodies. It wasn't raining anymore, and the purple fog was gone. I couldn't believe what I saw, and what I myself had done. But even worse things were waiting for me when I got home. My mother was dead. Killed, presumably, also by my father. The next day, the town was overrun by military personnel. That's when the gag order was issued. Talking about the incident was unappreciated, a taboo. But even still, people stopped going outside when it rained. Country folk are very patriotic. We never tell our children about what happened. But these things find a way out of even the tightest of lips, in parts. People only speak of the killer in the red raincoat, which is where the legend of the raincoat killer comes from.
Quite a story.
After the incident, the gas seeped into the soil of the town. Even today, when it rains, a minute amount is released. That's why I never take my mask off when I'm outside. This town is dirty.
What you say is true. And the killer is someone who is badly affected when it rains.
You need to draw the conclusions, not I. I have no conclusions.
Is there a connection between the red seeds and the gas, then?
This is just my own presumption. The seeds and the gas have a similar effect on our nervous systems. I believe someone figured that out and decided to use it.
I'm guessing the gas is made from the fuse.
Suddenly, the main screen on the wall, which previously had a picture of a world map, lights up with a news bulletin. Scrolling bars along the top and bottom say, "Attention, attention, attention," and in the center is a picture of Thomas.
York!
Seems very excited. It's kind of cute.
I'll tell you one last and very important thing. Just as you suspected, everything I have told you is gibberish.
What?
To the FBI server.
certainly know nothing about the Red Seeds. Thank you for listening to Old Man Babylon.
The screen that previously descended to block us off from leaving ascends, and we're free to go.
He's saying, I never told you this.
Let me ask you one thing that happened.
Oh!
You're a businessman. You must be after something in return for giving me this information.
York, at times we must purge things from this world because they should not exist. Even if it means losing someone that you love.
Is he gonna be his dad?
Remember this.
Michael has stepped between Harry and York, and he's waving his finger at York.
Is he the Vanco killer?
A single thing that can maintain its shape for eternity. For all this fact, you're making a big, big mistake.
I just want to say, I love that the game's logic is that the gag order was carried out via patriotism.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, right? That's,
you know what? There was a period in American history where that was a thing.
Oh my god.
Now everyone's learned better and they don't trust their government.
That was episode 20 of Deadly Premonition. We learned that the military used the mind-altering gas to make the citizens of Greenville go crazy sometime around the 1950s, and afterwards the military issued a gag order on all the residents of the town. The only rumors from that time that managed to spread were about a deranged murderer in a red raincoat, the original raincoat killer, Harry Stewart's father. Through Harry's information web, we also learned that George had located Thomas, so we're finally going to figure out what the hell is going on with him. That's all I got for Deadly Premonition stuff this week. Hey, you should come join the audio-only Let's Play Discord server and hang out with me and everyone else that's in there. You got the usual folks, you got Troy and Locathor and Kylie and Bill and Daniel K. Jeff from No Cat shows up there sometimes, you got Matt from Party Roll, Manny and Brandon from Enchanted, a bunch of the We Can Make This Work probably people like Evan and Tyler and Arjuna, a bunch of other podcasters I'm assuredly forgetting, as well as a bunch of other cool non-podcaster people. I'll put a link in the show notes that should last forever, so whenever you listen to this, come hang out. That's it. That's all I got. Stay safe, take it easy, and I love you. Goodbye.